morning again. I hope everyone has your Bibles handy. If you have your Bible handy, go ahead and turn to Genesis in chapter 4. We're continuing in our study in the book of Genesis, and as a shameless plug, Wednesday night we started a study going through the Gospel of John. So if you are able, I think the kickoff tonight, Super Bowl, does anybody know what time the kickoff is?
6:30.
All right. If you come tonight at 6 o'clock, you will be on before the first quarter is over. All right? Does everybody understand that? All right. So, don't let the sin. Besides that, I used to say this all the time when I was still a children's pastor. People didn't come on Sunday night Super Bowl. I'm like, if you don't come to church, your team's going to lose. I have zero theological basis for that, right? So, anyway, it's just a joke. But if you're able to come tonight, study through the Gospel of John, I would invite you to be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, we started our introduction, made it through the first 13 verses in earnest. We finished up with verse 14, but that is where we're going to start tonight, Lord willing. So again, invite you to come back tonight for our study, pretty much still beginning, in the Gospel of John. So before we begin, before we go any farther, let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for who you are. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have moved this morning, Lord, in our Sunday school class. And Holy Spirit, for moving during our time of worship as we sang. And also as we listened to Ja Ray play. Holy Spirit, I pray that our hearts are prepared to come before you, Father, humbly before your throne, that we might hear you. And Lord Jesus, we come expecting, I come expecting to hear from you. Lord Jesus, these things we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so last week, last Sunday morning, we finished up in Genesis in chapter 3. And we had two chapters. The first two chapters of Genesis were all rainbows and unicorns and harp music and butterflies, and everything was perfect the first two chapters. And that's all, that as long as it lasted, was two chapters. And then chapter 3 came. We saw that the serpent, the same serpent that we read about in the book of Revelation, showed up in the Garden of Eden, tempting Eve to sin. Eve ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, gave to her husband, and he did eat. Y'all remember that, right? And then God came to them in the garden, and God gave that first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where he said he's going to put enmity, or there's going to be strife between her seed, the woman's seed, and the seed of the serpent, that is those who do his bidding, and they will, that is the seed of the serpent, is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. But the seed of the woman is going to bruise, as the King James says, his head. Or some other translations say crush his head. And we know that happened on the cross at Calvary, where all of the penalty for sin and death was paid for. And then we went on, as we saw, after starting in verse 16 of chapter 3, we saw how God lifted the curse, the result of their sin. We know in chapter 2, he said in the midst of the garden, you know, all the trees of the garden you shall freely eat. But in the middle of the tree, in the middle of the garden, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Right? So God was and is always good for his word. So in that moment, they were separated from God. They were expelled from the Garden of Eden. The woman had a curse that her desire was going to be for the authority of her husband. She would rebel against him. And the husband's curse is he was going to live by the sweat of his face. He was going to till the ground. He was going to fight thorns and thistles and all manner of difficulty. And he was going to rule over his wife with an iron fist. And that language in the text gives that impression that he is going to rule over her, not with a tender, loving, godly leading, but a strong-handed leading. And then we saw at the end of chapter 3 where we could see in verse 20 of chapter 3, and I want to read these last 20 through 24 as we dive into chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 20, And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. That's really important for chapter 4. And then to Adam, also to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. So we saw that God started this whole idea of atonement, of covering of sin. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove them out, the man, that had placed, and he placed at the east garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So we see there at the end of chapter 3, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. God placed a guard there to keep anyone from returning back to the Garden of Eden. Not because he didn't want them to enjoy the Garden of Eden, but that was a matter of grace and mercy, that they did not eat from the tree of life, so they lived forever in their sinful state. Right? Nobody wants to live forever in their sinful state. So we're going to see here that this atoning sacrifice that God made to cover the sins of Adam and Eve is going to continue in practice, but it's going to be completed in Jesus. Right? This sacrifice, this giving in repentance of sin is a symbol of what is to come. And in chapter 4, we're going to see that certainly in earnest. So if you're not familiar with chapter 4, we will get there directly. So in your Bible, in Genesis in chapter 4, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. Alright, so now they have their firstborn. Their firstborn, his name is Cain, and she blesses God that she is thankful that she has brought forth a son by the blessing of God. And she again, verse 2, bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. So one was a farmer, and one was a sheep herder. Alright, so now I have two brothers. So I have one brother that's 5 years younger than me. He does a lot of the same kind of work I do. And we're very similar. We both have the same haircut. He's much taller than me. But anyway, we're very similar. We do similar work. My youngest brother, on the other hand, again, same haircut as me. He's 10 years younger than me, and he does work that's totally different than me. So a lot of times what we see here and with Adam and Eve, just because the two brothers are of the same parents, but they have different callings, different talent, different how they make a living is different. So one was a farmer, one was a shepherd. All right, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered it unto the Lord. All right, so far it seems okay. So after the passing of time, Cain, being a farmer, he brought to God what he grew. Okay? And Abel, verse 4, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering. But to Cain, verse 5, and to his offering he had no respect. Does that mean the shepherd is better than the farmer? That's not what that means, right? We can't say, well, I'm a shepherd, so I'm better. Or the farmer can't say, well, I'm a farmer, so I'm better. All right, we're going to read there, finish verse 5. But Cain, and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth, or why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, verse 7, shalt thou not be accepted? And if you doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God is saying, why are you angry? If you do well, your offering will not be rejected, or I will have respect for your gift, your offering, your sacrifice. Did you notice the difference between the description of the offering from Abel and from Cain? Now it says right there, Cain brought in verse 3, Cain brought the fruit of the ground and an offering to the Lord. That seems very And Abel also brought of the firstling, of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. What's the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering? Say that again, Jim. All right, so he gave him the first and the best, right? Abel brought the first and the best. It just says with Cain, and we're defining that out of a negative, right? We're defining the distinction because the Bible says in verse 3 that Cain brought, he just brought the fruit of his labor, right? It doesn't say he brought the first fruits, which is Jesus is the first fruit, right? We are the, he is the first fruit. The first among the resurrection. He is the first. So it doesn't say, and I'm defining this again from what is not there. So Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord, and Abel of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect. All right. So there in verse 7, we see how God, just like God came to Adam and Eve. You remember when God came to Adam and Eve in chapter 3? You remember they were in the garden? And then God comes to them. You remember, it says God went to the garden as he's walking there in the cool of the day. And he's saying, Adam, where are you? Right? God, knowing that they had sinned, he came to them. God, knowing that Cain was angry, right? That's what the King James word wrath means, right? He was angry. He had wrath. He was mad. He says, if you do well, verse 7, you shall not, will you not be accepted? Now, from this, this is my conclusion that I'm drawing, right? I'm not standing dogmatically on this. This is my conclusion. My conclusion is that this was not their first sacrifice. This was not their first offering. Because God is telling them, if you do well, why are you angry? If you do well, your offering will be accepted. So I don't know if this was their first offering or not. My impression is that it was not. So will you not be accepted? Again, verse 7. And if you do us not well, sin lies at the door. So if you don't give me the best or the first. Now, this is, I did not intend for this to lean towards a tithing message. And that's not where it's going to stay. But if we receive an income, and we do not plan to give God his portion, then we're doing exactly what Cain did. Right? We are not giving him of the fruit. In our budget, when we're buying a home or we're buying a car or we're going out to eat or whatever we're doing, if we're not planning to continue to give God what is his, we're being exactly like Cain. Right? And then when that nosy preacher says something about it on Sunday morning, then we get angry just like Cain got angry. Right? Not because the pastor knows. I don't know what you all get. Right? John and Bobby and the trustees, they know I never ask. I don't know what anybody gives, or I know somebody gives because I see what's in the bulletin, right? But I don't know what anybody gives, and I don't want to know. That's between you and the Lord. Just like Cain's offering was between him and God. Cain's correction was between him and God. Your relationship with him and your offering back to God, what is his, is between you and God. And if we're just giving God a tip instead of a tithe, we might as well put Cain on our forehead and call it a day. Right? Because we're not giving God what is his. Or we're not giving what's first. You know, during our budget, during when you're planning out how to spend what blessing God has given you, well, giving back to God should be the first thing. Right? Just like with Abel. He gave him the firstborn. He gave him the best and the fattest. We give to God first, and we plan everything around that, besides that. So, we see in verse 8, now here comes what most people are very familiar with in chapter 4. So, and Cain talked with Abel, right? So, God told Cain, well, if you did what was right, you wouldn't be mad. You know, well, fix yourself, and then you won't be mad anymore. So Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him, slew him. So Cain took out his anger with God on his brother. Jealousy. See, God accepted the younger over the elder. Now we see that all through the Bible. Right? We see it all through the Bible. We see that with Jacob and Esau. You know, we see it with Joseph. We see it all through the Bible. Where just because they're born first doesn't mean that they have a right to much of anything. It's all about what God. So God accepted Abel because his gift was what it was supposed to be. So Cain and Abel walking in the field. So Cain rose up and slew his brother. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" That's just like God asking Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Just like God coming to us, whether it's in our church service, whether it's in Sunday school, whether it's in our drive or our bus ride or whatever to school, wherever you are, God comes to us. His Holy Spirit speaks to us, and His Holy Spirit says, "Tony, what are you doing? Or where are you? Or where is your brother in this case?" God comes to Cain. God knew what Cain did. God knew that Cain was fallen, that he murdered his brother. And he goes to him and he says, "Where is your brother?" And he, verse 9, and he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, what's the difference between Adam and Eve with God in the garden and Cain with God? Now, you remember, in the garden, when God said, "Hey, did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Do you remember what Adam said? "Lord, it's that woman you gave me." Right? She's the one that caused me to sin. And then the woman said, "Lord, it was that serpent." You know, they didn't deny that they did it. They just kind of tried to shift blame, right? Cain here, God says, "Where is your brother?" And Cain said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" The farther we get from God, the more grievous and more overt our sins become.
Amen.
The longer we're away from the Lord, the longer we're out of God's Word, the longer we don't pray, the more we don't pray, the more overt our sins are. The farther we get away from God. You know, we can stay away from God or God's people or God's Word and say, "Well, it's because of this." No matter what, the longer we stay away, the farther we get. Because God doesn't go anywhere. The Word doesn't go anywhere. We go, right? We leave. So we see that here where Cain, he goes even a step farther than Adam and Eve went. So he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Verse 10. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." God says, "I know what you did." You know, God gave him an opportunity. Doesn't God always give us an opportunity to confess? He always gives us an opportunity to confess. You know, he said, "Where is your brother?" Right there was God's open door saying, "Cain, confess to me your sin that I might forgive you." Right? Every time we're convicted of our sin, God's not beating us on the head with a King James Bible. God's saying, "My child, come to me." When he's convicting us, he's saying, "I want to forgive you." He knows already. Y'all remember when you were a kid and your parents asked you what happened? They knew already what happened. Right? You know, I've told this story before about me breaking a window. My mom and dad come to me saying, "Tony, how did this window get broken?" They knew that window got broke. And here I am. I don't know. Just like Cain. Cain's like, "Oh, I don't know." Well, they knew exactly what happened, just like God knew exactly what happened. That is not a question for information. That's an opportunity for repentance. That's what that is. So God gave him an opportunity to repent. He refused to repent. Since he refused to repent, he said, verse 11, "You're cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." So he said, "Cain, you are going to have no home. You're going to be a wanderer from now on." Now, there's somebody else in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that God said, "You're going to be a wanderer. You're not going to have any home." Do you know who that is? A guy named Ishmael. Same thing. Right? God gave him an opportunity to repent. He did not repent. He did not confess. So God cursed the ground. Now you're not going to have any home, and you're going to go. And Cain, verse 13, And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." Now, he's saying, "Lord, this punishment is too tough. Lord, how am I going to live? I can't grow anything. I don't have any home, and everybody that meets me is going to want to kill me. Lord, what am I going to do?" Doesn't that sound just like us now? Lord, this is too harsh. You know, the Bible says that we give the Lord the first of what we have. Well, Lord, that sounds way too harsh. I remember hearing a preacher preach a sermon once on tithing. And this pastor said, I had somebody come to me and say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I make a lot of money. 10% is just too much money." And the pastor said, "Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll pray that you don't make near as much money as you make now. That way, the 10% won't seem as bad." And he's like, "Well, wait a minute here, you know." Or when the Bible says, "Love your enemies." Well, that's a little harsh. Or when the Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." We think that's awfully harsh. Cain is saying, "Lord, this punishment is too much. I have no home. I can't grow anything. Everybody that sees me is going to want to kill me." Now, verse 15. And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." So even in God's exile of Cain, even in God's curse of Cain and his life and even his descendants, God gave him protection. God still gave him mercy. God still gives us mercy and grace. You might not know God, you might not know Jesus as your Savior. You might be sitting there and say, "Well, I'm going to play church, and I've been playing church for 132 years, and I'll keep playing church as long as I'm on this earth." God is still giving you grace because he's still giving you another day.
Amen.
God is still giving you grace because you still have an opportunity to repent. God is still giving Cain grace even in the midst of his punishment. Just like he gave Adam and Eve grace by killing an animal and making covering for them. Right? Even in the midst of God's punishment, there's grace and there's opportunity for repentance. So we see that with Cain, and God said, "I'm going to protect you." Now, what mark did God put on Cain? I have no idea. Right? The Bible does not say what kind of mark he puts on. I don't know if it's a physical mark. I don't know. But the fact is, he said, "I'm going to put a mark on you." Now, this is where there's a whole bunch of discussion about the Bible. So we read in the first two chapters, right? We read about creation. In the beginning, what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So before, in the beginning, what was it? God, right? And that's it. God. In the beginning, God. Okay, now, and we read all the way through chapter 1 and chapter 2 that God created Adam, then God created Eve, and all of that. And then we had Cain, the firstborn, and then we had Abel, and then we had the offerings to God. And then we had Cain killing Abel. Now we see verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, we have never heard of the land of Nod. What is the land of Nod? Now, the word Nod means like a land of wandering, right? Like a nomad land, like a wilderness. So he goes out to this land of Nod, east of Eden. And this is the part of discussion. Y'all ever heard of the Snopes Trials? That was back in 1925 in Tennessee, where there was a trial on teaching evolution or not. And so this teacher and lawyers in Tennessee, basically the creation, the Bible account of creation, the truth, was put up against evolution and what should be taught in school. And the people that were defending the Word of God could not answer this question. Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of that city after the name of the sun, Eden. So we talk about the land of Nod, that was east of Eden. So where in the world did Cain get his wife? Now, if you look up the transcripts to the Snopes trial in 1925 in the state of Tennessee, you're going to see a long discussion between a lawyer and a witness about where did Cain get his wife. So where did he go? The land of Nod. Okay? So who was his wife? Where did his wife come from? This is an important thing. Right? Does the Bible say that Adam and Eve only had Cain and Abel? And then later, we'll see later, where they had another son named Seth. Are those the only three children that Adam and Eve had? They are not. Do y'all know how long Adam and Eve lived? Adam lived 930 years. Eve was like 880 or so. I forget what it was. It's in the late 800 years. Now, ladies, in 800 years, do you think you have more than two or three children? More than likely. All right? So, do y'all know who Josephus is? Josephus was a second century Jewish historian. And he was not a believer. All right? He was not a believer. Not a believer in Jesus. But he, being this Jewish historian, he did research from records available back then. And he says, according to Old Testament tradition, Adam and Eve, just Adam and Eve, had more than 30 sons and more than 30 daughters. Think about that for just a minute. Imagine having 60 children, but in 800 years, you know, that's spread out pretty good, right? So you have one every 30 years or so? I don't know. I didn't do the math. But anyway, it's very, very possible. But the Bible says that he went to the land of Nod, and he knew his wife and had a son. So his wife was one of two people. His wife was either his sister. All right, now y'all hear. Ew. Right? Or his niece. One of those two. Now, the Bible did not prohibit marriage between blood relatives until the book of Leviticus, or Deuteronomy. Now, this goes to the purity of the creation, because God forbid that, not because there was something morally wrong with it, because there's something not healthy about it, right? Because our deficiencies in our bodies, like my deficiencies in my body, is very similar to my sister's deficiency in her body. Because we have the same parents, right? So we have the same strength and the same deficiency. So if we have, if I, for some crazy reason, married my sister, our child, our deficiencies would be multiplied in our child. That's why God forbid it. Right? But that's so far removed from what we think. We think to ourselves, well, he can't marry his sister. Well, yes, he can. Right? They were created perfect. That's why they lived for 900 years. Right? They had no deficiency. They had no genetic deficiencies. Look, you can look at me and you can see two very distinct genetic deficiencies just by looking at me. I'm bald. And I'm short. I mean, look, that's true, right? So that is a genetic deficiency. So there's all kinds of things about us that multiply with time. But there's no mystery, it's no inconsistency in the Word of God that Cain left. Cain was cast out from the land where he's at. He went to the land of Nod. He knew his wife, which was either his sister or his niece, and had a child. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not a contradiction in the Word of God. It's an affirmation in the Word of God. We know that all men, all people, when I say men, I mean people, right? Mankind. All men came from Adam and Eve. And we know that it's independently verified because Jesus even said that even in all people, in Adam, all died. And if you look at the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21 and 22, the Apostle Paul was talking about exactly what Jesus said when he said, in Adam, Adam brought death unto all men. in all of that. My friends, we have a choice, just like Adam and Eve had a choice, just like Cain had a choice. We all have that choice. We have that opportunity. We call that free will. He had an opportunity to repent, and he chose not to. We have an opportunity to believe. We have an opportunity to repent. We have an opportunity to obey. Just the same as all the other, just the same as every other person ever born on this planet. We have a choice. Because we all came from Adam and Eve. And we're going to get, when we get to chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, you're going to see not only did we all come from Adam and Eve, but Noah was from Seth. And Noah and Mrs. Noah had three sons. So you and I are not just descendants of Adam and Eve, you and I are descendants from Noah and Mrs. Noah. And I don't know what Mrs. Noah's name is, just Mrs. Noah. And we're going to get there. But this, the fact that Cain was exiled and went to the land of Nod, you know, knowing that Adam and Eve were, they lived a very long life and they had very many children. You know, imagine having 60 children, how many nieces and nephews and grandchildren you're going to have? I can't even imagine. You know, that's more than, you know, I got family in Kentucky, you know. My grandfather had 8 brothers and a sister. So there was 9 boys and a daughter. Do you know how many cousins I got? I don't either. Right? I don't know. It's a bunch. So how in the world can we think that somehow God's word is not true because it doesn't make sense to us when it's right there in black and white that Adam and Eve are Eve is the mother of all the living. We saw that even after the fall, and Adam named her Eve. So Cain to his wife. We're going to drive on there, and I'm sorry. It's not as late as I thought. Verse 18. And unto Enoch, verse 18, was born Irad. And to Irad begat Mahujiel. And Mahujiel begat Methusael, not Methuselah, right? And he begat Lamech. And Lamech took him 2 wives. And the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. All right. So here we see a guy that departs from the one wife thing. He decided he wanted 2 wives. So maybe he married 2, I don't know. You know, we're a couple generations from Adam now, right? So these are Adam's grandchildren. So they might be cousins, they might be second cousins, I don't know. But he married 2 wives. And Ada, verse 20, bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such that have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. All right, so even this early in Genesis in chapter 4, we see how generations are building. And not just generations that are building, but talents are being used. One is, you know, there's farmers. There's musicians, there's engineers, there's all kinds of people, right? And, not just farmers, but ranchers, because he raises animals and lives in tents. And Zillah, verse 22, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. So here's a teacher that's teaching art and craft. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man unto my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. And if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. So here's Lamech, who not only takes 2 wives, but he has lots of children from these 2 wives. And then he kills someone. Now, this is part of his family, right? Still part of his family. He kills this young man, evidently in some kind of battle. And he departs from the word. He departs from the will of God. So he kills him. And then he claims that, well, if Cain's retribution for hurting Cain is sevenfold, then mine is 7 times 70-fold. Why? Maybe he thought he was more important or whatever than Cain. I don't know why. with Cain, that the farther removed we are from the origin of our faith, the farther we are removed from the center of God's will, the more overt our sins become.
Amen.
The more, and it's just, it's we see it manifest in our own life. You know, have you ever gone a couple of weeks without praying? Have you ever gone a couple of weeks without reading the Bible? If you've gone that time, you know getting back to it is harder than staying away from it. Getting back to it is labor. I mean, it's work. Why is it work? Because we have to go before God and repent and say, Lord, I have left you, but I want to come back. Would you receive your child again? I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to fellowship with you. But they're not coming back. They're just getting farther and farther and farther away. Because there was no center. Not because God wasn't there. Because they chose to leave God. They chose to walk away from God. And now in verse 26, we're almost done. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. By the way, this is the line from which Jesus came. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Did you notice that? The descendants of Cain did what? They walked away from God. She had another son named Seth. And the descendants of Seth then again began to call on the name of the Lord. And you know, we know in the genealogy of Jesus, you know, Jesus came from Seth, and then from Shem, one of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, right? Noah's sons. So we see the genealogy of Jesus, it starts not just with Adam and Eve, but with Seth. And then Shem. And then we go to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way down the line. God, even in the midst, now we see here in chapter 4, we covered like, I don't know how many subjects, a number of subjects. One of them is the fact that God's word is not only true, but God's word does not contradict itself. This is not a contradictory statement where Cain is exiled because of his murder of his brother Abel. He didn't, you know, there isn't some alternate alien race that was in the land of Nod that Cain came up to. You know, it's not that there was somehow some kind of evolution and there was more people than what God said was in the Garden of Eden. It is all it's very true and very easy to explain. And we're not explaining it because it's hard to understand. We're explaining it because it's right in front of our face. Right? We can see what God's Word says, and it's very logical. Right? God's Word is never far out there. It's very logical. Especially when we know the progression of God, the progression of God's Word, and the progression of his people and his plan, and this is the beginning of his plan. Even though he was rejected, he's been rejected a number of times, he still comes, still offering repentance by the example of a sacrifice, by the example of atonement, of covering of our sin. He offered it to Adam and Eve. He offered it to Cain. He's offered it to you. You need to say, God, I thought that I knew you, but man, I don't know. I don't know. If God is speaking to your heart now and you need to have your sins forgiven, I can't forgive you your sins. Only Jesus can forgive you your sins. But I'm going to invite you now as the musicians come up. Jare, Jim, Wayne, why don't you come on up? I'm inviting you at this very moment. If God is speaking to you, then you come and let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. That we can see what God's Word said and you can get your heart right now. Not later on today, not tomorrow, not another day, but now. Let us not get farther and farther away from God. Let's pray. As soon as we finish praying, we're going to stand. Same song of invitation. Lord Jesus, I pray as we've heard about Cain, about Abel, and about Seth, and all the different things that have been done, according to your word and against it. Lord Jesus,